With your help, we can continue to fight for freedom. This is not possible without your generosity. Join our quest for the truth and our freedom. Simply visit www.realitycheck.radio/donate to make a difference today.
As you might know, because she's been on our show a few times now, Alex Hills is a free press activist, violinist, and architect. She lectured in sustainable architecture at Victoria University until it became apparent our universities had been captured by a fake green agenda. And of course, she is behind the grassroots activist network Candles for Assange. That's a day job. That's not a day job, for a day job. Let's get that right. She's currently working on hemp
doesn't
building
pay very
design.
Well.
No, hemp building designs are doing a lot better right now. Yeah. Anyway, Alex, good to have you back.
Great to see you again, Paul. Yeah. Reality Check back, actually. Wonderful to hear Reality Check back on.
Oh, yeah. Thank you. I'd almost forgotten about that. It seems like it's in the rearview mirror now.
Oh,
you know,
we're
only looking forward.
Oh, I was trying to send shows to people and I was like, oh, no, it's down.
Yeah. Well, that's how it felt if it's not there.
Yeah,
and
absolutely.
And for me, you'd look at a news story or something's happening and go, yeah, we should go and talk. Oh, that's right. We don't talk to people at the moment. But anyway, no, thank you for saying those kind words. Yeah, so Al Jazeera late yesterday, WikiLeaks founder Julian Assange wins bid to appeal US extradition to US. I think last time we talked, I might have indicated that I probably have more of a negative feeling to the outcome of that particular part, but not so, not so.
Mm. Well, I think I mentioned to you last time, I think the whole purpose really is to drag it on so that it gets beyond the election,
right.
Beyond just, you know, maybe people will forget about him, but I don't think they're going to have that luck because I think it is going off now and around the world. The support is absolutely blinding now. So, yeah. Yeah, wonderful atmosphere in London yesterday, like absolutely amazing. Everyone was very positive, but I still have this feeling at the back of my head that maybe the better thing would have been to move forward with the European courts, you know. But I mean, okay, at least the British courts now have shown that they've taken the assurances from America and they've garbaged them because they were absolutely ridiculous. And
just remind us, Alex, what were those assurances?
Well, they were asked to give assurances about the death penalty not being implemented and also about his First Amendment rights, as the risk was, as he was a foreigner and they were dragging him back to America, that he wasn't going to have First Amendment rights. And many US officials have stated that's the fact. And what they said in their assurances was just that he can go and try and seek them, but not we can't guarantee that he's going to get them. And that was just not good enough. But I mean, at the end of the day, this is death by, you know, legal procedure. You know, it's about keeping him in jail, keeping him, and just keep remembering that he's in a tiny cell, 22 hours a day. Some people have said up to 23 and a half hours a day. Gets very little interaction with anybody. And it's just, you know, he obviously has no connection to internet or anything else outside of seeing his family.
What a change in life for, well, he's used to it now probably, but from the person he used to, well, being he's still that person, but what he, his freedom there compared to this. What's the reason for confining him like that? It's so obvious that it's so brutal.
No, I mean, he's not a violent person. I mean, I think they're trying to make him out to be a terrorist and, you know, pursue him under the Espionage Act. But, I mean, all these things are absolutely ridiculous. There is absolutely no legal basis for that. And in any case, it's a political case, quite clearly. And it's illegal for England to extradite someone on political, you know, causes. It's just not. But also now with these assurances, it's been clear that he's going to be disadvantaged because of his nationality, which is clear. That is a case. And because of that, he won't have any First Amendment rights, or there's a great risk that he won't get them. And so now they've allowed an appeal on those two items. We've got to keep in mind that they haven't allowed an appeal on the free press items, which really, I mean, the only outcome we want is to just have him walk free and be walking on a beach somewhere, preferably safe. That's the only really outcome now, is that we need to put pressure on Biden to get the charges dropped. That's just absolutely fundamental. And I mean, this case is going to be very embarrassing to him. He has every opportunity to say, no, Trump was overseeing the CIA when they were plotting to assassinate him. You know, Trump was the one who sent Grenfell to Ecuador and made a $4.2 billion IMF loan, bribe so that they could throw him out of the embassy. And I mean, although we say that Julian has been very free in the past, that's really not for the last 12, 13 years. He's been confined in one way or another for 13 years.
That is the punishment, isn't it? It's a real-time punishment happening now. So whatever happens later, I mean, some people in this country have been out in that time for killing someone.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, the fact that he hasn't even been allowed to attend his court case, I mean, he's been allowed to attend in a glass box once. And we were hoping that he was going to attend actually on yesterday. We were hoping that he was actually going to make it to court for an actual appearance, but it wasn't to be. And I think that he's been very sick ever since he had that stroke during that October trial. Literally on camera in front of the journalists, they saw it happen. Yeah. But I have a bit of a bombshell piece of news for you regarding Assange and New Zealand.
What is it?
Well, I've known this for a while, but I was asked to keep it secret for, I guess family reasons. But he has more of a New Zealand connection than anyone knew. His grandmother was an Aucklander. She's passed away now.
Is that right?
Okay. Yeah.
Well, damn it, we're in this fight now too.
We are. And I mean, really, if we're talking about South Pacific, being able to hold our governments to account, it just as much affects South Pacific journalists as anyone. And he's, the greatest South Pacific journalist there's ever been, I think, you can say quite safely. But also, I don't know if you know, but we launched this sort of 2 day before the trial Haka for Assange campaign. We put out a flashy video, and we asked people to do a haka down by the courts, and they did it yesterday in London. And they're inviting anyone who would like to please participate, even just with, there's a very simple three-move haka, which just says free Julian, free the truth, and then stick your tongue out at the end. And then there's instructions to do a full, the New Zealand rugby kind of haka. And I know that a lot of people get upset about hakas, which one to use and all that sort of stuff. But I believe that haka has actually been given to New Zealand people to be able to do. And I guess
Don't mess with us haka.
Yeah, and I think it was appropriate to direct at the court. So, Richard Hillgrove is a Kiwi who's in charge of Julian's PR, or at least he was in the past, and he was going to do this haka back in 2019. We were scheming to do it. And, he got arrested 3 days later, just 3 days around the time that we were planning to do that. And so we put it on the, shelf for a while. And then because of this court case and the fact that he might even be attending court, it just seemed like the right time. And they produced a video with all of us in it. And I think Richard Hillgrove is his grandmother signs her treaty. So, he is he looks more powerful than anything, so it's a little bit of a cultural appropriation nightmare in some ways. But I think we just thought, well, Julian is worth it, and Maori are affected just as much as any other. And now we have this New Zealand connection. It's not just that he helped us with the TPPA and other Panama paper, revelations. It's not just that he's had all sorts of leaks that have assisted New Zealand journalists, but also that his grandmother's a Kiwi.
Wow, well, that's a scoop for us, I suppose. Thank you for letting us know about that.
Just
what you said about Trump, because this is where it doesn't make sense for me, and maybe you can help me out. I had the impression that Trump was a particular character, right? And no BS, freedom and all of that. Yet it was under his administration that substantially a lot of what is happening to Julian Assange is happening right now. And that doesn't seem to make sense. There's a incongruity, I think is the word there.
Yeah. We all had a lot of hope for Trump. I mean, a lot of people thought that Trump might just stir the pot enough to actually reveal, you know, he's lifted the veil on a lot of the corruption.
Yeah, but why not him, though? This is the thing.
No, I don't think he's for real. Unfortunately, I wish he was, because there's not really another option with Biden being so awful. But
you would think Biden would be harder on Assange than Trump. You know, that would be the assumption.
Yeah, no, but I mean, he actually stated at one point, he said, oh, I love WikiLeaks when it was helping him.
Oh, right. But, yeah, forget about that pretty quick.
he had actually been questioned on WikiLeaks and what he thought about the people that, that ran WikiLeaks in the past, and he thought that they should be given the death penalty. And he was indeed the one who oversaw the CIA plot to assassinate him. And he was the one who ripped him out of the embassy. You know, you know, this is where you actually start to question how much.
Because one phone call would have stopped that.
Well, theoretically, but then how powerful are the US presidents? Like, how deep do you want to go? I mean, I don't know how powerful they are. Look at Biden.
Yeah. Yeah. Whoever's operating the thing behind the curtain is the one who's really.
Exactly. I think we have to just open our eyes a little bit about the old two parties being two cheeks of the same butt. They always are.
Yeah. That's a good way of
putting it. And I think this is like classic controlled opposition. And I fell for it. I believe that he might be a good person, but look at Operation Warp Speed. Look at the executive.
That's where I lost it.
Yeah, I mean, like, quite clearly he still is doubling down on that.
Yeah.
And, you know, people have quizzed him about Assange. He should have pardoned Assange and Snowden, but instead he pardoned, a rapper, someone completely, like, honestly, some people in the deep state, I think, you know, like, what?
Yeah. Something doesn't make sense, like I said, you know, it's like he's too much or something, I don't know. His wife, Stella, said outside the court, I'm reading here from this Al Jazeera story, the ruling marks a turning point and that we are relieved as a family that the court took the right decision. We should say that, but a turning point. So
yes,
that's good.
Yes, I felt like there's a massive amount of positive. I mean, I've seen even Craig Murray, who's normally quite skeptical, and in his delivery, you know, Consortium News do a good job of the trial covering. They did a 7-hour live feed of the whole thing with lots and lots of interviews, so it's really worth checking out. But yeah, he was interviewed on there, and I think Craig Murray was upbeat, and that fills me with confidence, because he's normally as skeptical and cynical as anyone. And also, you know, he was a former ambassador for the UK, and obviously he didn't like what he saw when he was in there and became more of a whistleblower journalist. But I when he's positive, that fills me with a little bit of hope. A lot of people saying that this is the turning point. It makes me feel like it's time for us all to really get behind this and do the same action, you know, whether it's attacking Biden and making sure that he gets that information. The hashtag is let him go, Joe, free Assange now, free the truth, those kind of things, getting that information out there, telling everyone, you know, this is the first step to getting him free, I think. And I think we're in a turning point.
Last question. Have you been asked about this by any other media? Mainstreamish, I mean, is what I mean. Just the regular media.
No, I do believe the Haka for Assange crew. They're getting a video edited from the Haka that was done outside.
And they'll put that on, probably.
Yeah. I heard a rumor that News Hub rang them up.
So, okay, so that's clicks. Yeah. They like the clicks. That's
yeah,
what they like.
Maybe. Yeah. I don't know. Or maybe they're going to get upset about the cultural appropriation. I don't know. I have no idea.
I hope you've got a good answer standing by for that.
But other than that, I've had interviews on an American show, but it's just, you know, more alt media. It's, you know, people like yourselves.
We're the new mainstream, Alex.
Yeah, Candidates for Assange, she's a channel. She's used to be with Randy Critico as a producer, and she's basically just trying to interview any candidates that are out there for political positions who are supporting Assange and kind of elevating them.
Yeah, highlighting them, elevating.
Yeah.
All right, Alex, good to catch up. Alex Hills, Candles for Assange. And, boy, it just I'm saying it's really interesting and fascinating to watch, but I feel so sorry for Julian, you know?
We got to keep on remembering about this guy in a cell for 22 hours a day, and it means the end of our children holding their governments to account. It's a double-edged sword.
Yeah. Okay, Alex, thanks for coming on this morning.
Okay, cheers.
With your help, we can continue to fight for freedom. This is not possible without your generosity. Join our quest for the truth and our freedom. Simply visit www.realitycheck.radio/donate to make a difference today.